Hi, welcome. This morning, as we come to reflect upon our scripture passages this morning and share in that time of reflection with one another what God is doing in our lives, what God has called us to be in our lives with one another, with our families, community, and how we are to live in accordance to God's will. I'm coming to you from outside this morning, so you will hear traffic and you will hear the birds of the air. And it's a reminder to us that even in the midst of our isolation, in the midst of our dispersion, in the midst of being staying at home, we are in the midst of life. We live in a world in which God has not forgotten us, and that we are a part of that in all of creation as we hear others around us and the birds of the air. Our reading this morning comes from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 2 through 10. Peter writes, "Like a newborn infant, long for pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow in salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to other spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.' To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone, which the builders rejected, has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you receive mercy." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, as we come to you, as we take time to reflect upon your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead. Amen. Last week I asked you to join with me in a challenge to read through the history of the early church. And the history of the early church as it is presented to us, beginning in the book of Acts and then the following letters from a variety of people, from Paul and Peter and James in the New Testament. In our reading, we will discover not only how God called the early church to be in their families, in their churches, their fellowship communities, in the community at large, but we will also find, I believe, how God has called us through the power of the Holy Spirit to be his followers in our world today. In our world today, to be in our families, in our communities of faith, and in the world. You can find the challenge through the e-press in the newsletter. There will be a link there, as well as on our website. And as we approach this challenge, as we journey through the challenge that is put before us, we answer the question, who is God calling us to be as followers of Jesus Christ in the world today? Now we take up that time. We take up that time of challenge today in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of physically being dispersed amongst ourselves. We are not able to gather together as a community of faith in our campus in our sanctuary at the corner of Carlos and Gower. We're not able to be there. We have been dispersed into another way of living at home and staying at home. And the events of our lives, whether they're birthday parties or worship services or Bible study, name the event, weddings, just don't take place unless they're online. And we follow that way, for we have an online community in our dispersion. But like the early church, who was dispersed as well, we have a different opportunity to gather together in our dispersion. And so we come to that challenge. We come as a dispersed people, physically separated from one another, to look at Scripture and the Word of God and what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in the world today, in our dispersion, and how we use the tools that are at hand to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We gather together as to what does it mean to be in this world. If you look at the first chapter of 1 Peter, and he talks about that dispersion. He talks about how those people at that time were dispersed to Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia. They're spread out all over the place. Now, they weren't dispersed necessarily like we were dispersed, where we were able to gather and then sent out. They're dispersed as the body of Christ because they came to faith in those locations. They came to faith as dispersed believers already. And so how in their dispersion are they called together then to worship as the body of Christ, to be one in the body of Christ? Because to be one in the body of Christ means we want to be together. And we look for the hope and the resurrection and that time to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. How are we to be in the world today? Their dispersion as believers, as I said, is a longing for that true home. It's a longing for us and our true home as well. It's the true home in the new world that is coming and for their end time inheritance. And that's what we're looking at, our end time inheritance. And Peter calls them to remember to whom they rest, to whom is the cornerstone of their lives, and how that is all built together. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But what he reminds them of is in our dispersion, in our new being in Jesus Christ, that we're called not to conform to the values and worldview of the present age. And so I encourage you to read all of 1 Peter. Read it from beginning to end in one setting. Read it as a letter, not bits and pieces as we do on Sunday, and then, but read it as one and listen to hear what God is calling us to be through Peter. In their dispersion as God's chosen people, as the body of Christ, this is where Peter reminds them of their call and their election to be holy. It's not just that you have been forgiven and move forward. It's a call to a new way of life. And it's a call to be holy as he goes back to Leviticus 11:44 and reminds them that you are to be holy as God is holy. What does it mean to be holy? How does that look in our world today? What does it feel like to be holy as God is holy? It is a calling to be obedient children separated from the evil in all that we say and do. In other words, we are to be conformed to God and not to the world. And thinking about our holiness, Peter at the beginning of chapter 2 writes, "So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." Put away all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. When I think and reflect upon that, the question that comes to my mind is, how much thought, how much thinking do we do about our use of language? How do we really reflect upon and take a look at the words we use and what those words create in our world today. Create, first and foremost, in ourselves, in our souls, in our being, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, but then also in our fellowship as a member, a dispersed member today, but in our member, our fellowship community. And then how are we formed through the language we use in the communities in which we live, in our culture and our societies? There's a plethora of examples that I could give you, but I want, instead of pointing to those examples, I want you to reflect upon your own use of language and the environment that it creates in the world in which you live and how you live in that world. Have you ever heard the phrase, to swear like a sailor? To swear like a sailor is to use language in a very rough, coarse manner. In my previous life, I heard sailors and Marines use swear words in every single sentence. In fact, I worked with one individual in my first command that used swear words as all parts of speech. I did not think it was possible that one swear word could be a noun, a pronoun, an adjective, a verb, preposition, conjunction, an interjection. All manners and parts of speech, he was able to use swear words. Now, what's amazing about that ability wasn't that he was uneducated or knew about language or anything else, because he had a bachelor's degree in English from the United States Naval Academy. So he knew all too well the language he was using and the environment it created. In a conversation with him, I asked him about that, and he said, well, you have to communicate where your troops are at. Well, I'm not sure that's always true, that you always have to use the exact language they're using, because then you're not creating a holy environment. And you may have to change your language and the manner in which you use language to be holy, as God is holy. So what about the words we use? Think about the language you use and the words that you use, and what are you really saying about a particular situation or a person in the words that you use? How do they identify them? What do you say in that identity? And is that really what you want to say? Is that really creating the environment, the culture, the holiness of God, the temple of God? Because you and I are called, as we'll learn shortly, to be living stones in our world today. Are we using words to describe a situation and are persive, exclusive or inclusive? Do they lift up or do they demean or put that particular individual or group of people in a place that doesn't make them welcome? Does it uplift and sustain them? Does it create an environment of difference, of holiness, of love and compassion and empathy? How do we use words in our lives is very important. And I always have to go back and reflect about the words that I am using. And it's a difficult thing to do because it's looking into my inner soul as to what I am called to be by Jesus Christ. And so I ask that question to you. How do you use words? Now keep in mind how powerful words are and how they are used. The best example I could come up with is to go back to Genesis 1 and the power of language. In Genesis 1, in the creation story, what happens? God speaks and something is created. God speaks and we have land created. God speaks and light is created. God speaks and the waters are separated, and we have a firmament created, and we have the heavens and the earth. God speaks and stars are put in the sky for night as for day. God speaks and vegetation is created. God speaks and animals are created. God speaks and Adam, humanity, is created in the image of God. Let's pause on that for a moment. The power of words to create, our ability to speak and use and talk and embrace one another through language, is a creative power. And God has given us that creative power as he gave it to Adam, because he told Adam to go and name every single creature. And as Adam goes and names, he creates a culture, a society, an environment. Language shapes and forms you and I and who we are in our holiness and in our lives with one another, whether it's in our families, whether it's in our faith community, or even in the community at large, in our world. Language is powerful, and it makes a big difference in who we are and what we are and what we are doing. This is why in Peter, the second chapter of Peter, Peter goes and addresses something in verse 1, which is not a part of our readings today. But he begins here, he concludes that part about being holy and use of language by saying this. He tells us to put away all malice. Put away all malice. Put away that desire to inflict injury, harm, or suffering on another, either because of a hostile impulse or out of deep-seated meanness. Put away all malice. He goes on to say, put away all deceit. Put away the act of or practice of deceiving, of concealment, or distortion of the truth for the purpose of misleading people. Put away duplicity, fraud, and cheating. He goes on and uses a third word, hypocrisy. Put away all hypocrisy, a pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious or principles. That which the one does not really possess. He has two final words that he uses. One of the last words he uses is envy. We're to put away all envy, the feeling of discontent or covetousness with regard to another's advantages, success, and possessions. Put away all envy. And then finally he says, put away all slander, defamation, malicious, or a false statement or a report. In other words, those words that Peter is using, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, are all words of language. It's not what they are doing, it's what they are being, and the words in their being, what they're saying, and what it creates. And what environment do those words create? If you function in that area, in those words, and do those things, how are you being holy as God is holy? We are too, as Peter calls the early followers of the church to put away that language, we are called to put away that language as well, to put away those thoughts, because they create unholy persons and people and communities and society and culture. We put them away because we are called to be living stones in God's new temple, the body of Christ, the church. We are called to be living stones. Now, this is a bit different in context and thinking about it. What does it mean to be a living stone? We know what stones look like. We go look at our church edifice. We go look at the campus or look at our houses. We know what a structure looks like. We know if we build out of stones, how that brick and mortar builds a structure. They're not too living. We don't look at them as living things. But God is calling us to be holy. God, through Peter, is calling us to be living stones. And how are we living stones? How are we living members of the body of Christ? How are we a physical structure in our dispersion, or even when we return in our physical presence? Who are we? What are we called to be as a living stone? The living stone is a stone in which, if you look at your own talents, skills, and abilities that you have for yourself, and what God has called you to be holy, is you're one person following Christ. You're one person. But how you use your language, how you create in and around you is you're a stone that's built upon the cornerstone of Christ. We create a spiritual temple. We create a spiritual church. We create a spiritual culture and environment in which the church moves and Christ moves in and through us. It's not a permanent structure that's not unmovable, but the church is always moving. The church is you and I as living stones, living out that holiness that we're called to be. It is creating beyond the walls of a structure, another culture, another environment in which we participate and create in our thoughts, words, and deeds. The way I think about this the most, and it's a song that stuck with me since 1991. In 1991, I took a youth group to Williston, North Dakota for a youth gathering over a weekend. And in that gathering, there was a band by the name of Jay Beach. And Jay Beach wrote his own music and sang songs. And this particular song he put together in 1988. And they performed it there at the youth gathering. And it talks about the church. And this is what I think about when I think about living stones of who we are in Jesus Christ. The lyrics to his song go like this. The refrain, and then I'll just do the verses, I won't do refrain each time. Goes like this, beginning with the refrain. We are the church, the body of our Lord. We are all God's children. We have been restored. The church is not a building where people go to pray. It's not made out of sticks and stones. It's not made out of clay. Verse 2, you can go to worship, but you cannot go to church. You can't find a building that's alive, no matter how much you search. The church is not a business, a committee, or a board. It's not a corporation for the business of the Lord. The church, it is the people living out their lives, called, enlightened, and sanctified for the work of Jesus Christ. We are the church, the body of our Lord. We are all God's children. We have been restored. You and I are the living stones of the church. And if people want to know what church is, what the body of Christ is, they know it through you and me. They know it through the language we use and how we build up that church, that fellowship with one another. And so I ask you and invite you again in to join me in the challenge to read through the New Testament beginning with Acts and explore with me the question, what is God calling us to be as individuals and as a community of faith at Hollywood Presbyterian? What is God calling us to be as church? You can find that challenge in the ePress or on the website. Please join with me in the challenge and be living stones in the world today. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us to be your holy ones, to be your chosen people, to be your people in the world that others might know of you and Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. Lord Jesus, as we are living stones in our world, bless us in the use of our language, in the use of going forth in your name, speaking to others in the world. Help us to create through the power of our language the holiness that you desire. Bless us, Lord, through Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.